Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh my lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. People get the NFL schedule. Often people take a yearly trip to a football stadium with their friends. I have been to football games in Cincinnati, Atlanta, Detroit, New England, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Miami, Buffalo, Tennessee, Kansas City, Tampa, and New York. Out of all the NFL cities, I have been to all of them multiple times, more than once, except I've never been to Seattle, Denver, or Dallas. So I am better for this than Ben Volen. So Ben Volen did an article, writes about the Patriots for the Globe. Says, NFL stadiums are going to be full again, blah, 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 blah. What a better way to spend your fall weekend than meeting up with your buddies or taking your family to a new city. Well, there's a lot of things better than taking your family to a new city so your kids can sit there bored while you sightsee. This is about taking your friends to a game. Says, I've been lucky enough to cover more than 200 NFL games in 13 years as a writer in 29 NFL cities plus Mexico City. I have yet to attend a game in Los Angeles, Seattle, or Las Vegas. So, but by the way, he puts Los Angeles, Seattle, and Las Vegas in this.
Because, well, near the top, I think.
Yeah, and like, why would you just like go, like, I haven't been there, so
just leave him off the list.
Like, I'm going to leave him off the list.
Yeah.
Sorry. So here is Ben Volen's list. So you are going with your friends. I've done this again 14 times. Mm-hmm. I've gone out of town with friends to see games, and this is what Ben's idea of. And I've been to 14 of these stadiums. This is Ben's in all these cities, in 27 of these cities or 29 of these cities multiple times. Here's Ben's idea. Number one is New Orleans. Fine. Number two is Green Bay. Whatever. All right. Here. Number three, Miami. One of the few trips where you can bring your swim trunks and golf clubs any time of year. You can stay in the bustle of South Beach or a quiet spot in the Keys or Palm Beach County. So if I go stay in the Keys, I just have that pesky 3.5 hour drive.
Has he ever been there?
No. All right. So if I stay in Marathon Key, by the way, that's north of Key West. What are you going to stay in Key Largo? All right, so fine. So I stay in Marathon halfway. That's 3.5 hours to Miami or 2.5 hours to Miami plus the hour from Miami
north to
get
the stadium.
To that stadium.
That's right.
What planet? And I've been to but I went to school in Florida and I have friends who live in Miami. What? Unless you have a friend who's going to drive you to that game and you're going to tailgate, which tailgating is nothing there. Miami's number three? What, because you can play golf? Then go play golf. You're talking about going to a football game. Miami would be in the 30s. Miami is not the place to go to a football game.
Marathon Key is without traffic, 2 hours and 15 minutes away.
I go there every year. I go every year to Marathon just about. It's you can't get there in 2 hours. By the way, A1A is like one lane each way for part of it. And then you get into that, forget it. My point has been made. Las Vegas. I've never been to a football game in Las Vegas, but I visited the city enough to know that it's automatically a top five NFL destination. Huh? Okay.
Leave it. Okay. You can't not have gone before and put it number four on your list. Listen, the stadium experience may suck. It might be the worst stadium in the world. Listen, I like Brooklyn, but going to see the Brooklyn Nets is one of the worst basketball going experiences that you could possibly go to. That's the deadest stadium I've ever been in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would put it, no, even though Brooklyn is an amazing city, I would never put that at the top of my list. How can you do that when you haven't even gone? Put it at number four.
Okay, Buffalo is the perfect football weekend for you and your buddies. You can stuff your face with chicken wings and watch college football on Saturday night. And if you have time to kill, Niagara Falls is only 45 minutes away.
You and your buddies can go get the Superman suite with the big hot tub in it, with a heart. You know, you can just go to Niagara Falls.
And everyone's been to Niagara Falls said, this is a destination. I'm glad I came here
for that. Can you imagine?
Oh.
Because I've been to Buffalo to a game and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass because you got to get a car there. But can you imagine? If you said to your friends, like, all right, dudes, let's just get in the car and go out to Niagara Falls. Everyone's all hungover. Like, yeah, all right, let's go check it out. What are you, Condé Nast? And then he goes Tennessee, which I've seen games that's good. But here's his point in Tennessee. And so I don't understand any of the rest of this. Tennessee, another trip where you can have a ton of fun without getting in a car all weekend. Yes, I don't want to get in the car all weekend. That's the point. So remember that. That's Tennessee. Tennessee's a good place to see a game.
It's a great place.
Seattle, although I've never been to a Seahawks game. Okay, so why are they seven? Denver, a city that loves the Broncos and has some great food and beer scene.
Nick right now is having a field day. He's saying, told you so.
I can tell you the atmosphere. Now, having been to a game in Denver, the atmosphere around the stadium itself is great.
Right, I know, but the food and beer scene Denver, scene?
The district where you would go and drink is nowhere near the stadium.
Yeah, and
Nick
also
is peacocking right now, Fred.
Well, him and Voland have the same taste. A city that loves the Broncos is great food and beer scene. If you get to town early, some of the best skiing in the world is only a couple hours away. What? Like, what trip is this? Like, what trip are you taking? This is a weekend with your friends. So I'm flying in on a Friday night, and I'm leaving Monday morning, let's say. If I'm lucky, I'm leaving Monday morning. A lot of these trips I had to leave Sunday afternoon. And I'm going to go, I'm just going to go head up to Vail. I mean, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Pittsburgh is good. It should be top five. Chicago, who doesn't love a trip to downtown Chicago? Walk the Magnificent Mile. And have a nice walk over to Soldier Field. From where? Where, Ben? Where am I walking to Soldier Field from?
Bring your bulletproof vest.
Well, it's not on the south side, but where am I walking? Who's walking to Soldier Field? Again, Ben, are we going on a 7-mile walk to Soldier Field? You're not walking there from the Magnificent Mile. Kansas City, a similar vibe to Buffalo, but replace the wings with burnt ends. Stadium traffic is a nightmare. But Kansas City is a great place. It's the best tailgating I've ever seen. Indianapolis is at 12. It's the worst experience I've ever had at a stadium. The city is, there's two things to do. And by the way, he's like a little downtown scene with restaurants and bars, plenty of hotels. You went to the Super Bowl, dude. Like, if you want to, like, if you're with your friends and, like, actually want to have fun.
It's a different stadium, though, from the one you went to.
I understand.
Does that change it?
Well, no, it's in the same area. It's in the same walking.
So it's right next to where the old one was.
It's right next to where the old one was.
So what didn't you like about it? Because I liked that downtown.
Because we were there for the Super Bowl.
Sure.
The people there are awful.
The block, downtown Indianapolis is what, Rich? Two blocks? Three blocks?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
If
I mean,
that.
You're kind of exaggerating, but yeah, no more than like six blocks.
There's nothing to do over. If you were there for two nights, there's nothing to do.
There's the Native American Indian Art Museum, remember?
There's the Guitar Museum right across the street from your hotel.
Yeah, and I went into it.
That's right.
Los Angeles. Have yet to attend a game in L.A., but it's L.A. The traffic stings, but come for the beaches, the mountains, the sightseeing, the glamour, and while you're at it, catch a football game. Okay, dude.
Just go to a fashion show while you're at it.
I'm going to go to Los Angeles to a game. What do you get? Well, I don't know. We'll hit up the Comedy Store and then take the 5-hour ride to the game. Again, this is the glamour. Let's go soak up the glamour. Arizona, separate September trips to the desert aren't fun, and Cardinals game stadium is the middle of nowhere. All right, so why is it 14? And he goes, sneak a trip to the Grand Canyon. It's the 14th spot. San Francisco is 15. A weekend in the Bay Area is always fun, but you have to deal with A, prices, and B, an hour-plus drive to Santa Clara for the game. Okay, why would I go to San Francisco? Then he goes Cleveland. Now, he changed the article because he said there was no tailgating in Cleveland, and people sent him 5,000 videos of Cleveland, and Cleveland's a good place to see a game. Tampa, everything is spread out. It's a lot of strip malls and chain stores, and traffic in and out of the stadium can be a pain, but it's Florida. The Gulf is beautiful. Tampa's a dump. Tampa's, and the people at Tampa Stadium are hoodlums and idiots, and Tampa's a terrible place to game. All right, John, you've been here. 18 is Jacksonville. I went to a game in Jacksonville. We got in on a Saturday night, and we went to the concierge. We got in at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, and we said, what can we do? And then they said, there's a monorail. If you take it two stops, the Hooters still might be open.
For the Super Bowl, when the Patriots played the Eagles in Philadelphia, and I think this was 04, Jacksonville, it was an abomination getting around in that city. It was awful.
Jacksonville is the worst place to go see a football game in the league. New York is 19. New York is a terrible place to see a football game. You stay in the city, and then you have to deal with getting your ass down to East Rutherford, which is a huge pain in the ass. New England's at 20. Okay. Washington's at 21. Impossible to get to. Minnesota, not the most glamorous NFL city, but the Vikings have a sparkling new downtown stadium that allows for a relatively hassle-free weekend for visitors. Minnesota should be in the top 10. The stadium's right there. There's stuff to do there. Dallas, I have no idea about. Carolina, I have no idea about.
Well, Dallas is like miles from anything. It's in Arlington.
So it should be in the bottom.
Anything. Yeah, yeah.
Philadelphia.
I mean, the stadium itself apparently is amazing, but, you know, other than that,
Philadelphia,
it sucks to get around.
Yeah, so no. Philadelphia, nothing wrong with eating a good cheesesteak, running the Rocky Steps, and getting into it with rowdy Eagles fans, but the stadium isn't really walkable. It's not really walkable. It's its own. Those stadiums are their own entities. I don't even know where you would stay.
It's like a grid that's this giant parking lot, and in the middle of the parking lot are all the stadiums.
It has the arena, the ballpark, in the link, in that one parking lot.
Exactly.
And again, if you go there, you have to take a cab into there. Atlanta's 27. What planet are you on? The new dome is beautiful. You can stay the weekend without renting a car, but downtown Atlanta doesn't have much going on. Don't stay in downtown Atlanta. Stay in this. What are you doing? Atlanta should be in the top 10. There's a billion strip clubs, 1,000 bars, and I guarantee you there's a concert playing while you're there. Houston, I don't know. Who wants to go to Houston? 29, Detroit. It's fine for a weekend. The stadium is nice and clean in downtown, and you can definitely find some fun, but no one circles the Lions game for their big weekend trip. You can stay in downtown in the Greektown Casino, gamble, go to the Bazooki Lounge for strip club, and go to the stadium. They're all within three blocks. Get your head examined, Volin. And then Cincinnati, he has last. Detroit, 29. You and your big friend trips. Detroit, so you can go stay at the Greektown Casino, and you're within three blocks. You could spend the weekend at the Greektown Casino and never leave three blocks and have a great time.
So why did he change the article? He said that because I saw him said, retract something.
He said Cleveland didn't. No one tailgated in Cleveland, which is absolute lunacy. There's people out there at the night before. There are people that literally tailgate 12 hours before the game. Cleveland's insane. Like, Cleveland's the kind of stadium where I would not wear Pittsburgh Steelers gear. Like, even when they're not playing the Steelers, they have shirts for sale that say Steelers suck and this and that. I mean, what? Go see the Grand Canyon. Go see Niagara Falls. Put me in a city that's got, I can walk to bars, I can walk or take a cab easily to bars, restaurants, and I don't have to worry about getting to and from the stadium. That's it.
And that's the thing. You show up, it's not to go sightseeing. It's where do we drink, where do we eat, and how close is the stadium to where we're staying?
Yeah, I get away from my family, and I want to go see the Grand Canyon. Yeah.
That's why New Orleans, on top of everything else, rules, because when I went to see Patriots play New Orleans a few years ago, we walked from the Superdome back to Bourbon Street.
Yeah, New Orleans is the perfect place.
It's the perfect place.
Yeah, New Orleans should be number one. That's fine. I don't have a problem with number one.
I don't even mind Green Bay being number two because that's just like a destination.
I agree. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Green Bay being number two either. Yeah, that's fine. If you go to Green Bay, you know what you're getting because you're going to Green Bay to see the game. It's not just to be away from your family. But my Lord, Atlanta at 27, Detroit at 29. I'll give you a list. Miami at 3. Miami is not at 3. Just go to Miami. Why? Go to Miami. Go stay in the Keys. Ah, man. And he covered the Dolphins. I don't know. Maybe he got laid like on the field or something. But guys weekend. If Ben Follen was one of my guys, he would no longer be on the email chain. All right. When we come back, Jason Mastrodonato.
Mastrodonato.
Mm-hmm. Very long name. He will talk to us about the excitement around the first pick. And this just in, Mike Gambino, head coach of Boston College Baseball, will join us at 9. Talk about Sal Frelick, who went number 15 to Milwaukee, his own player, and also the process, the whole process for these kids as they wait to get drafted. We'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Marcelo, there are lots of Red Sox fans listening who may not track the draft all that closely until tonight. What would you tell them about yourself and the player that they just added to the system?
I'd say that, you know, I'm a winner and I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, to help the Boston Red Sox win.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jason Mastrodonato, easy for you to say, covers the Red Sox for the Boston Herald. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jason, hello.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Are you in Denver, Colorado?
I am not. There's not a whole lot of reporters going to Denver. There's a few.
But the ones that are going, this is like the big, like this is the bachelor party weekend. This is turn off the phone. We're getting after it this weekend. Is the vibe I'm getting from the dudes that are out there?
Right. Well, there's not. I don't think there's a ton. I mean, there's still a global pandemic, but I think the people who are there, yeah, sure, they're going to party.
The national guys, and I do know that. I'm not speaking out of school because for the baseball people, I know one guy that spent one All-Star game smoking weed with Snoop. He just was in a trailer. He had performed, and then that was the whole thing. So for the national guys, this All-Star game is like bachelor party weekend. This is like time to let loose. So if they look a little worse for the wear while they're reporting this weekend, just know that they've been after it. All right. So the Red Sox got this Marcelo Mayer kid. A lot of mocks had him going first. I get the reasoning of why Pittsburgh did what they did. I obviously know why Leiter's kid got taken second. I know why the Tigers took the arm they thought was the best. What's the financial situation with this kid, and how much of a coup is this for the Red Sox that he fell?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, you know, the slot value for where he got picked is $6.6 million. Maybe they have to pay a little bit more. I don't think they're worried about the money of the Boston Red Sox. He's not going to go to USC. You know, he's going to sign. You get picked fourth overall, you almost always sign.
Sure.
So I don't think that's a concern. It's a huge coup. And not only is it a coup, it's a sign that Chaim Bloom is adaptable. You know, last year at number 17 overall, he goes way off the board and takes the kid Nick York, who was ranked in the hundreds by most outlets, and he takes this kid at 17 overall. And then he comes back the next year, and he takes the guy who's ranked number one by most outlets. So he's not just the guy who's looking for the diamond in the rough. Maybe he can identify top-end talent and figure out which guy he wants as well. But this is a kid who, you know, rarely in baseball drafts do you start looking down the road where you draft a player and you say, okay, well, we have Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. We don't need one. You know, you don't usually do that in baseball because kids take so long to develop. But when you have a top high-end player like Marcelo Mayer, and he's getting compared to guys like Corey Seager and Brandon Crawford, guys who went to the majors within 2 or 3 years of getting drafted out of high school, I think this is a legitimate guy that you could see in the majors in 3 years, because that's what happens to these top-end kids. So, you know, is he going to play shortstop forever? Maybe not. He's already 6'3", 188 pounds. Xander Bogaerts is a big kid at 6'2". Carlos Correa, 6'4". Seager, 6'4". There's a lot more bigger shortstops in Major League Baseball now than there used to be. But even if he doesn't stick at shortstop, like, you know, a lot of people think he can move around the diamond or he's ready to play.
They didn't get him for his glove. The glove is a nice plus, but they got him for his bat and his athleticism, correct?
They got him for his bat, but they do think he's going to play shortstop, and that's pretty much what all the scouts think, that he's going to stay at shortstop. And that, you know, everybody's drafted as a shortstop, as you guys know.
Yes.
You're either a shortstop or a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
And you move around. But they think he's really going to play shortstop. So you look at it, and it's, okay, well, Bogaerts can opt out after 2022 if he wants to. You know, he seems to be one of those guys who wants to be a Red Sox for life. But this Ken Meyer looks legit.
Is there going to be an issue if Xander Bogaerts wants to continue? If obviously they keep him around, if he wants to continue playing at shortstop?
Exactly. That's going to be the question, right? I mean, Bogaerts currently right now is ranked as the worst defensive shortstop in baseball by defensive run save. But, you know, this isn't new. Bogaerts is usually ranked at the bottom of the league in a lot of these stats. He's basically an average shortstop by the eye. I think most people would say that. But who knows? 3 years from now, is Bogaerts still going to be playing shortstop? Maybe not.
No,
and if he does opt out, I think there's a legitimate chance he opts out, especially how well he's played.
Hey, ultimately, though, I mean, a lot of people forget when Bogaerts came up, I mean, the Sox played him at third to get his bat in the lineup. I mean, who's to say where this kid's going to play?
It's a good problem to have.
I mean, if
the kid can play in 3 years in the majors, that means he's a star, and if they can get him up, that's great.
Exactly.
I mean, it we'll worry about the situation with Bogaerts later. What made him fall? Obviously, we know about Leiter. The Tigers weren't afraid about taking a right-handed prep pitcher, which a lot of teams shy away from, so they must have loved him. What's the belief that why did Pittsburgh not take him number one? Do you know?
Yeah, a great question. You know, I think usually with baseball, it's so much different than most drafts. It's not like the NFL. Like the entire consensus, all of the scouts and the writers can decide that this kid's going to be ranked number one, and he could go number four.
Right.
And that's not really terribly surprising. I think more surprising is that Kumar Rocker fell to number 10 when he was supposed to be, you know, a top three pick or top two pick with Leiter. And, you know, it kind of reminds you of the Red Sox years ago when they took Jay Groom, when Dave Dombrowski was still here, was supposed to be the best pitcher on the board. He made it down to, like, 15 or whatever it was. So, you know, you get a guy who's supposed to go one and goes four, you're not really worried about it. You get a guy who's supposed to go two and goes 10, you're like, why did 9 teams pass on him? And I think that's why, if you're a Red Sox fan, you're like, you're not really asking yourself today, why didn't we take Kumar Rocker? You're just happy that you got the number one guy on the board.
Well, no, people want Rocker had been falling for a while, but I guess unfairly to the kid, they were picking him apart all year because he was so high profile. But changing the subject a little bit, Shaughnessy talked to Dave Dombrowski. He had an article or a column in the Globe yesterday, and about Dombrowski being unfairly maligned for bankrupting the farm system and how that's actually not true. How is that not true?
He certainly did bankrupt the farm system.
Yeah, and they're like, they're not giving me any credit for signing trading for sale and signing Martinez.
The argument was,
well, I could have done that.
But the argument was, I mean, you look at the Sox top prospects. You know, you look at a guy like Dalbec, who's not hitting well, but is up. Tristan Casas is apparently a top 50 guy. Jaron Duran's a top 50 guy. All of those are Dombrowski selections. After he got rid of everyone.
And then the thing was, he hung on to Devers. Yeah, but he got rid of the Moncada. I mean, he banked. Am I wrong, Jason? He got rid of everybody, just about.
He did, but, you know, when you look at it, yeah, you go and get Chris Sale, you're going to have to give up somebody. Moncada, to me, was always overrated and still kind of is. I mean, he's not a player that's going to change your lineup. He's had some nice seasons. He's not a guy that changes your lineup. And Michael Kopech's been hurt. Now he's a reliever. I mean, they were talking about him being like Noah Syndergaard. He's not Noah Syndergaard right now. So Dombrowski, his whole career has actually been phenomenal at identifying which prospect not to trade. Mm-hmm. He's almost never given up the best prospect that he has. Jaron Duran was a great draft pick by Dombrowski. He's made some draft picks that were not very good. Jay Groom, for example, is still in high A ball, has never gone above double A, was supposed to be a big prospect. But he gave away guys that, for the most part, did not turn out to be great. You go and get Chris Sale, you have to give up some guys.
Right.
I don't think Dombrowski was bad at identifying talent. I think he did what he was told to do, which is, you know, go all in.
Yeah, but I don't think it's unfair to say that he left the Red Sox cupboard bare.
He almost did, right? I guess if you look at Casas and Duran now, there are some guys that you can kind of rely on a little bit, but nobody expected this out of Duran, right? I mean, he was a seventh round pick and was supposed to just be a speedy outfielder and now got really good. Casas was obviously a first rounder, was supposed to be pretty good, but for the most part, he left the cupboard bare, and that's why Chaim Bloom's just been stocking prospects, and I don't think he's going to trade any in July. For the most part, I think this is just what Chaim Bloom does. So now you have the reverse of that.
All right, so Jason, quick snapshot of the near future here. The trade deadline's less than 3 weeks away, and the Red Sox are in first place and in position here to make a move to improve their roster. And in my mind, it still needs improving. I'm looking up and down. I don't see massive talent here. I'm not quite sure how they're doing this outside of the middle of the order. I mean, the rotation's okay. Evaldi's having a decent year. He's a borderline all-star at best. Are the Red Sox doing well because the rest of the division is lousy, or are they doing well because they're a really, really good team?
They're definitely not a really, really good team. They've been overperforming all year. I don't think there's any question. I'd say on more nights than not, they have less talent than the other team that they're playing, which really makes you think about how good Alex Cora is as a manager, that somehow he's winning these games. I mean, they win a lot of one-run games. They obviously win a lot of come-from-behind games. They win a lot of extra inning games. They win close games, and they kind of just find a way to come back and win games. I don't think they're the best team in the American League. They might not be the best team in their own division. They don't have the most talent, and the pitching's a legitimate concern. I mean, the starting pitching's been falling apart the last couple weeks. I mean, their last three starts, their starters have combined to throw 11 innings, and it's just not sustainable. The reason the bullpen's been so good is because the starters have typically, this year, they haven't been the best innings. They ranked 22nd in starter ERA entering the All-Star break, but they've been innings. And when you do that, your bullpen has a chance to be successful. So the bullpen's been great because their starters have given them innings, but I'd be legitimately concerned about the starting pitching and how over-reliant they will be on Chris Sale and how desperate they are for Chris Sale to come back.
I agree. All right. Well, listen, Jason Mastrodonato covers the Red Sox for the Herald. Thank you so much for the time. And next year,
get you to that All-Star game. It's like Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks. There's a donkey show, everything.
I've covered a few. It's a good time.
All right. Thank you so much, Jason. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Fred, you mentioned Snoop Dogg. So there was like a writer who somehow got backstage with Snoop Dogg and got stoned with him, or what was the deal?
Yeah.
It was like a baseball writer?
He's involved with something with the major leagues. Okay. But he apparently this whole thing is the whole All-Star Weekend is just like massive debauchery. And this guy who's just some dude, he's not famous or anything or doing anything that great. He's not a writer, but he was at in San Diego, I believe. He was at the All-Star game, and he was just like walking around like the bowels of the arena, and there was a big trailer, and it was Snoop Dogg's trailer, and Snoop was sitting around in lawn chairs out in front of the trailer smoking weed, and this guy and Snoop said, "Hey, do you want to come smoke with us?" And this dude and his friend did, and it was very overpowering. It was.
That sounds like a story that didn't happen.
It happened. This guy.
He's just some random guy walking by. Hey, smoke with us.
I don't know. The guy might have talked to him or something like that, but he did smoke weed with Snoop Dogg. He has photos.
It was funny, Frank, because I was trying to find out what, because I thought it might have been someone we knew, and maybe it is, but I just took a quick look, and I ended up stumbling across, there's this writer who yesterday tweeted out, his name is Matt George, and he writes for I don't know, something. He's got 65,000 followers. He said, "I've been in L.A. for a year and I haven't seen a single celebrity. My mom comes for a weekend and meets Snoop Dogg," and he tweets out this photo of his mom, apparently, next to a guy who absolutely is not Snoop Dogg. it will never not be funny. People who think that they met a celebrity and tweet out a photo and it's not that celebrity at all. I mean, yeah. This guy's head's not even the same shape. He looks nothing like Snoop Dogg at all. And now he's just getting absolutely killed right now on Twitter.
Well, it was a black guy smoking weed. There you go.
I just tweeted out the photo. And there's apparently a bunch of people who think they got their picture with Snoop Dogg. Like, anyone, just there's this group of people who just think, well, you're right. He seems to be a black gentleman. I guess I took my picture with Snoop Dogg.
Tall, thin black guy smoking weed. Must be Snoop Dogg. All right, we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
You're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
All right, so there was an article that came out in Sports Illustrated, and someone was able to sit down with a gentleman that I know that John Wallach worships the ground that he walks on when it comes to the altar of great broadcasters, Sean McDonough, a gentleman who was brought in after they blew up the Monday Night Football John Gruden experiment. You had, ended up going to NBC. He ended up leaving ESPN, and to be quite honest,
Tirico.
When it was Tirico and Jaws and Gruden together, it was fantastic. One of the main reasons was because Tirico and Gruden had real chemistry. They were fantastic together. And also because Jaws would just piss off John Gruden. Like, John Gruden could not hold back his absolute disdain for this guy stealing all of his thunder and any airtime. Oh, they would get in these like little back and forths and fights, like cat fights.
And now we know why, because, and I won't spoil the lead, but now we know why, but because Jaws, again, had the most boring sports television show in the history of the world.
It really was the worst. What was it called?
It was Sunday Mornings with Jaws, hey, where I just break it down.
It's the Coach's Clicker Show.
Yeah, it's called Sucking the Fun Out of Football.
That's what it was.
And for years, it was the show that aired before the game day or whatever the hell they
called
it.
Yeah, it was like at 7 in the morning on Sundays.
Yeah, yes. And so like you'd get up, like again, on one of these football trips, and you turn on the TV and it'd be ESPN. And you'd hazily look at the TV, and it would be Jaws telestrating, and you'd be like, why would I do this if I'm not getting paid? Like, what do I want to know about all this stuff for?
So Tirico was taken off, and you know what? To be quite honest, listen, that's got to be a daunting position for anyone to step into. But I have to believe that someone like Ian Eagle could have stepped in there and done an excellent, not an excellent job, but a very good job.
Someone who's not entirely humorless, someone who could have just let John go and kind of like giggled along. Yeah.
I'm starting to even think that because after that, there was, many people call it a disaster, it was Tessitore, Booger McFarlane on a crane, and Jason Witten. Now, Jason Witten obviously wasn't very good, but Tessitore at the time didn't seem that great, but I think that the dude's got a personality, believe it or not, and holy moly, he's actually very funny.
One thing I've learned after watching, actually, Rich is right, holy moly, he's good, but the one thing after watching what he's doing now, as opposed to doing Monday Night Football, ESPN went to him and said, be as vanilla as possible.
See, that's the thing, is that if they I could have done that job, and I don't know anything about doing play-by-play, but football play-by-play is easy. If I could have done that job, and I would have felt comfortable, because I would have just said, it's the Gruden show, you go, baby, and like I'll just laugh at stuff that you say and let you get and try to kind of encourage you to go wilder.
I remember when they announced it was going to be Sean McDonough, and every person, every Wallach in New England was rubbing themselves with butter. They're like, oh, the great Sean McDonough.
The sounds of Sunday evenings in my house as a child.
Hey, McDonough did the Red Sox for years. We love him.
Yeah, summer nights.
Yeah.
Under my covers with my parents not knowing, and I was listening to the transistor.
I remember after that first game, I just came in and was like, Wallach, what are you smoking? He said, give it time.
I did say that, dude,
what are you smoking?
I mean,
they got nothing together.
Just
nothing.
Because he had no sense of humor at all. It was just a brick wall of not wanting to be there. And
here are
just,
my facts. I'm going to put my facts out at you.
Yeah, and like, okay, so you have like Star Wars night. So like, even if you, so talk about how corny it is. Like, don't
sure.
go. Now here's Rilo Ken or whatever, like saying Star Wars stuff.
These Purple Rain t-shirts, they're selling like hotcakes. I would not want to be Eli Manning tonight.
Now here's Vikings public address announcer Alan Roach.
Oh, man.
I mean, they just, like, I mean, there's no give,
here,
no take,
here's
no
the, here's the deal. Yeah, okay, Purple Rain, I wouldn't want to be, you like Prince? Hey, John, yeah, Purple Rain, you big Prince guy? There you go.
Yeah, Prince, I'll tell you what, he was a little guy, I'll tell you, but he'd get behind that drum kit sometimes.
Have it, just a taste of what you can expect in December. You can see how excited First Trooper to my right here is.
I mean, he was just awful. I mean, he couldn't have been any worse. And so
he used to bang Apollonia.
You ever see Vanity 6, John? I mean, oh, the fun you could have had. Vanity 6, the only thing vain I know about is damn Eli Manning.
That was a very fun segment.
Yeah, right. It was, I mean, come on.
I mean, easy. He couldn't even try.
Easy.
It wasn't trying. So McDonough was on this Sports Illustrated podcast, and he talked about why it didn't work out. And he goes, when I was hired, part of what I was instructed to do was to suck. No, he goes, was to make it more conversational. Well, you failed.
Well, yeah, exactly. You didn't do that at all.
No, I mean, the opposite of that.
No, you didn't do that at all.
I mean, he's admitting this. He goes, make it a little lighter. Bring out more of John Gruden's personality that you used to see from time to time on that quarterback show that he did, quarterback camp, and get more into storytelling. He said, I think, to be totally candid, John Gruden enjoyed the X and O part of it. He loved the telestrator. He told me when I first got the job, I don't like stories.
Okay, no, he does, and we just heard you shoot down one. He's trying to have fun. He just told a story. The guys that now it's going to... Think of the million of directions you could have gone. All right, they have purple rain shirts on. It's going to really get to Eli Manning today. Have you seen that before? That gets to quarterbacks, this kind of stuff. I mean, just anything you could have opened up.
Or, Fred, feed into what he does best.
Right.
And that is fawning over players.
Exactly.
Like, just give him, an easy thing like that. So, how great is this guy? How great do you think he could be? Boom. John Gruden goes off. This guy, you know, I'll tell you what. He was going to rest stops and working people out.
Yeah, he'll tell stories, but... Yeah, he might have said, I don't want to tell stories. And you go, okay, fine. I'll just sneak him in there. And he won't be able to help himself.
So McDonough says, so he didn't want the stories, and he didn't want to engage in conversation. Well, maybe because you were bad at engaging him. He said, there were times when I would ask him a question or make a point, and he didn't respond. And I think it was just because he was so focused on, I'm going to dive into this play, and he just didn't want to do it. I think after a while, he just thought you were a dork.
Yeah, and of course, if he's not responding, you can have fun with that, too. Just go like, hello?
Hey, how's it going, John?
Johnny, what you doing over there? Like, have fun.
I'm going to stand here and pretend I'm Mike Tirico so you talk to me.
No, I wear a mask.
I would say that on the air.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it would work. And he goes, then there were times where it came across being awkward, and it was awkward. It was awkward for me. You're standing there next to somebody wondering, quote, if I ask him a question about this, is he going to answer it, or is he going to be annoyed that I asked him? So it was uncomfortable. He said the part of it that bothered me was the narrative that some people in your line of work said, quote, oh, well, that's a little too big for McDonough. He said, I did the World Series when I was 30. I don't think anybody thought I was nervous or out of place. Oh, McDonough coming out hot.
Yeah, McDonough did the World Series when he was 30, man. Don't worry about McDonough.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs based entirely on his talent.
He said, that is not meant to be critical of John Gruden. Yes, he was great at that aspect of it. Well, it was.
No, he's great at that aspect of it. So you're saying he's crappy color guy. He just was great at what he wanted to do, and the rest he was terrible.
Okay. Oh, yeah, not very good. He goes, when you're putting up the replays, he needs to talk about them. It was a direction the producer and the director chose to go in most of the time, which I understand. John's the analyst. TV is an analyst-driven medium. It was his strength. They played to his strength. It made sense. It just didn't match with what I was there to do. I mean, come on. Getting Gruden to be John Gruden might be one of the easiest gigs in all of sports broadcasting.
I'm telling you, as long as they didn't sit there and pound my head before I had to start, I could have gotten into that booth. And I might have sucked it play-by-play, but I guarantee you I could have gotten John Gruden going. Guarantee it. It would have been easy.
A lot of excitement here at Soldier Field. I'm joined by First Order Stormtrooper.
John Gruden, I don't want any of this nerd crap around me.
Well, that's the thing. And then you go, John, you big Star Wars guy. Hey, look at the Star Wars guys. Like,
look at the outfit on that guy.
Like, hey, John, right? Like, who were the Stormtrooper? Who were the defensive Stormtroopers when you were coaching? And if he goes, I don't know, Fred, you idiot. You just go, hey, I'm just playing with what's here, baby. Have some fun. And he goes, Fred, I'm just busting balls.
This is so great. He goes, again, not mean to be critical of Gruden or anybody else.
You are.
Of course you are. He goes, I understand why it went the way it did. I just think it was not a great dynamic based on his strengths, my strengths, and the way the broadcast went.
What exactly are your strengths?
I'm trying to wonder. I mean, it was like, as I said, one of the easiest, getting him to speak might be the easiest gig in all of sports.
The straight man in a two-man booth. Wow, what a difficult role to play.
Did I think we were bad? No, I thought it was fine. fine, but it could have been great, and in my opinion, it wasn't. John, you've been in that position. You've had to go across from a mega personality such as Mr. Cedric Maxwell.
I was just going
to
say, that's a story of my life. Setting Max up, that's all I do.
Max loves you. He wants you to be his co-host, I'm assuming. I'm not, of course, I'm not saying
all
I like Sean Grandy, but I mean, he likes you better. We all know that.
Everything, everything they have at their disposal at Monday Night Football, I mean, they're telling you there's a spotter, there's 18 statisticians, there's 1,000 people that have done reams of research, and they're all feeding you that information. Repeat the information and just and get John going. That I could do it. I couldn't do basketball and I couldn't do hockey, but and baseball would be a chore because I would get bored easily because of focusing the entire game game after game. I mean, I could do baseball one-offs, but football I could do once a week. A play every 5 minutes? Yeah, I could do that.
That was having the worst. That was like having the best wide receiver in the league and the worst quarterback.
Yeah.
Like just the most wasted talent. Mm-hmm. All you had to be was competent to get him to work. And I'm telling you, a guy like Ian Eagle could have walked in there and absolutely slayed it. John, you could have slayed it. And that's not a cut on you. But I've seen you do it with Cedric Maxwell. Instantly there was chemistry. He got you because you played to his strengths. And it's not very hard to play to John Gruden's strengths. Just have him fawn over people. Just like, how great is this guy? Well, let me tell you what. This guy throws over 5,000 passes a day while he covers himself in peanut butter. I read this article, and I'm like, at some point, does Sean realize maybe the problem was you? Maybe you were the problem the entire time.
The best part about John Wallach is that for Roach's birthday, you put up from our 10th anniversary show, you put up the billboard or the poster someone made of Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, it was great.
With the photoshops, and John's face is photoshopped on Skolnick, and you cannot tell that it's been photoshopped.
Well, somebody even asked. They said, hang on, is that John Wallach, or is that part of the poster?
Yeah, I mean, John.
Boy, I've never heard that before.
John looks right at home resting on that body.
We thought about doing a bit when the Rhode Island Comic Con came around. You know, there's like celebrities sitting at booths, setting up our own booth and saying that it was David Carradine from Revenge of the Nerds or whatever Carradine, not the guy who
and have
died.
Me sit there, yes.
Yeah, and have you being the guy from Revenge of the Nerds and see if people would actually believe it.
The best is Carradine when he's interviewed because he's like, I was like a badass young actor on the scene, ripping up Hollywood and going out and doing drugs. It's pretty funny. All right, we'll be right back. What do we got coming up, Rich?
All right, there was something that went viral this weekend, Fred, that got me to dig, and I have something special for you. To be quite honest, it's I thoroughly enjoyed what I found.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Sports.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.